This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. Here's a question. Is friendly fire still friendly if it comes from a robot?
It is a cruel and bitter truth that in the fog of war generally, and our fight against terrorists specifically, mistakes, sometimes deadly mistakes, can occur.
As President Obama formally acknowledging that a U.S. drone strike killed American hostage Warren Weinstein and Italian hostage Giovanni Laporto last January. This cruel and bitter friendly fire incident happened at the hands of a drone strike. Drones, you will recall, are designed to be less detectable than regular aircraft, with capabilities to make multiple clandestine passes over a target before firing. And drones, because they are pilotless, are intended to put American personnel at less risk than traditional missile and bomb strikes. In 2013, though, Attorney General Eric Holder confirmed that four American citizens have died in drone strikes since President Obama took office in 2009, and there are more American deaths if you go back to 2002. Joining us is Andrew Coburn, author of Kill Chain, The Rise of the High-Tech Assassins, and he's Washington editor for Harper's Magazine. Andrew, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hey, good to be with you.
So once again, this so-called surgical strike idea in the use of high-tech weapons like drones has proved to be not so surgical.
Well, that's right. And actually, you know, it's inevitable. I mean, President Obama sort of tried to make it sound like this is an aberration, you know, something in the fog of war and all that stuff. But actually, what people have to realize is, despite all the claims, this isn't really so precise. The intelligence, the whole premise of drones is they're sort of these super efficient, both intelligence gathering and targeting devices, really aren't that precise in all sorts of ways.
The question here is, you know, we popularize drones, we popularize these high-tech weapons, and yet they're not any more effective than anything else in the so-called war on terror if you're going to have this kind of an incident. And it really suggests that Al-Qaeda and ISIS can use hostages as almost bait for drones.
Well, yes, it does. I mean, the idea may well be occurring to them now. I mean, they had been, if they'd made it clear that the hostages were on the premises, perhaps, you know, one would like to think we wouldn't have targeted it. But yes, I mean, exactly. I mean, drones, the whole mystique of drones, which has been heavily sold on every side. I mean, both on the, you know, the administration and the military and the CIA have said, oh, you know, they're super precise and these wonderful technological miracles. And actually, you know, people who question the whole thing from a moral point of view also tend to invoke, you know, the power of technology, the power of surveillance technology. I mean, how we should all worry that, you know, Big Brother is watching us from the skies all the time. I mean, people should understand that what Big Brother is seeing most of the time is a pretty blurry image. In fact, I came across some documents when I was doing a Kill Chain that showed that actually under a lot of the conditions that they operate under most of the time, they enjoy 20/200 vision. As opposed to 20/20, 20/200, which is actually the legal definition of blindness for drivers in most states of the U.S.
Extraordinary. Now, kill chain is a precise term that refers to this ritual. You referred to morality a moment ago, this ritual of commands that is supposed to create some sort of careful authorization for the use of drones. But in fact, in practice, it can often be more of a fiction. Can you describe what kill chain actually means?
Well, kill chain is actually a term, you know, fairly common particularly in the Air Force. It's the whole procedure from when you decide to hit something or someone down to when you actually do it, all the sort of steps you go through. For example, in the 2003 invasion of Iraq, they spent put a lot of effort into trying to kill Saddam Hussein with precisely targeted strikes. One of the targeters complained to me afterwards. He said, well, you know, the kill chain, we couldn't get the kill chain down to below 40 minutes because that was all the time it took to sort of, when you thought Saddam was, you know, having dinner at a particular restaurant, to getting the right weapon there, to getting the surveillance in place, to actually launching the weapon and then watching it explode. Of course, of all this, they blew away many hundreds of civilians and no Saddam. And that's one of the beauties of drones, allegedly, is that you can bring the kill chain down to seconds because the drone is flying around and then, whoops, there's, you know, the master terrorist, or something, you know, that looks like might be the master terrorist, then you can fire off a missile right away. So the kill chain is theoretically seconds.
And while in theory the advantage would be to have the kill chain to be short, if you don't know what it is you're hitting, the seconds that you have actually increases the level of confusion and possibly makes it more likely that you're going to take out hostages.
Well, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. You know, hostages or, you know, or innocent, you know, just ordinary civilians. I mean, the wives and children of whoever it is you're trying to kill. I mean, they say that they didn't kill anyone apart from four terrorists and two hostages in this particular strike we're discussing. I suppose we have to take their word for it, although so often their words turn out to be not the truth.
Finally, is the precision and these sort of collateral damage, you know, I use the term chillingly, civilian and hostage casualties, does it complicate the sort of political downside of these drones? In other words, will criticism escalate because there's a precision to this takeout? It's almost as though you're doing what ISIS does, being very precise in the way that you're killing. It's not just a missile strike that blows up a whole village and there happened to be a hostage there. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Very good point. You know, it makes it all extra creepy. For people, when they say, you know, we're going after a particular individual, then that requires presidential approval. If you don't know you're hitting, then the CIA can bang off a missile without having to ask anyone. If the precise act of assassination, of lethally targeting, or whatever euphemism they like to use, someone on the other side. And it has, as you say, you know, a huge political blowback.
Andrew Coburn is author of Kill Chain, The Rise of the High-Tech Assassins, and he's Washington editor for Harper's Magazine. Thanks so much, Andrew.
Thank you, John.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing.
Or politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.